This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Welcome to the Retro Asylum.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. This is episode 68. I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Right, so guys, today we have got an amazing episode lined up for you. We have got a superb interview with Philip Murphy, the organizer of NERG 2014. Now, NERG, if you don't know, stands for Northeast Retro Gaming. It was one of last year's biggest retro gaming events, and it's back this year. Now, before I go on to the interview, I just want to talk about a few other little bits and bobs that I want to talk about. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to our sponsors. So, our sponsors basically are Dino Dini, Aaron White, Splatty, Uniforex, Mikey J. Hay, and Michael Keith. Now, again, guys, we can't do the show without you, and if you want to donate, even if it's a little bit, head on over to RetroAsylum.com. You'll find a PayPal button, click onto that, and you can donate as little or as much as you like. Now, talking about sponsors, guys, we have got some other amazing sponsors. Now, the first sponsor we have got is Funstock. So if you want to find out about Funstock, head on over to funstock.co.uk. And the best thing about what Funstock have done for us is that if you want to buy something from Funstock, all you need to do is buy something. But if you type in the promo code Asylum, which is all in lowercase, you get 10% discount. Can you believe that? 10% discount if you go to Funstock. If you buy something, just type in the words Asylum, and that's a 10% discount. Now, next up, I want to talk a little bit about our other sponsors that we've got, which is Geek. Now, why are we mentioning Geek? Well, Geek is the beginning of the Retro Asylum tour that we're doing. We are doing an amazing Retro Asylum podcast tour. And we want to get it out to our fans. We want to get it out there to our listeners. We want to meet new people out there. And Geek is held in Margate in Kent. And that is on the 21st and 23rd of February. So it's a Friday, Saturday and Sunday of February, and we're going to be there. We're looking forward to it. We're going to do the podcast on the Saturday. We're probably going to do it around 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you are around Kent, that area, and you listen to a show, why not come down, visit us? It'll be me, Ali, and it'll be Andrew, one of our listeners, who will be performing the podcast. So pop by, say hello, support the show. I'm really looking forward to Geek because I've got an amazing memories from Margate itself, so I can't wait for this. Now, the other sponsor we have got is NERG, and once again, guys, not only will we be interviewing Philip Murphy once I finish rambling on about this, but we will be doing a live podcast there. The event is being held in Newcastle at the Gateshead Stadium, and it is on the 5th and 6th of July. Now, we will be performing there on the Saturday. We'll be doing another live podcast. I cannot wait to do this because this is one of the biggest upcoming retro gaming events. They did an amazing show last year, and this year, from what I've spoken to Philip, it's going to be even bigger and even better. Right, so guys, once again, the live podcast that we will be doing, please support us, please go to these events. We will be at all the major gaming events this year. We will be at Geek, we will be at Play. We've got our own event, which is Retromania 2, which is being held in Croydon. That event will be on the 26th of May, which is a bank holiday Monday. Again, Retromania 2 is completely free for our listeners. What we will be doing at the event, though, is walking around with a little bucket, which will be donations for a charity. Haven't sorted out which charity it is, though, but it's going to be a great event. We've got two other amazing podcasts there. We have got Nintendo Sushi and we've got Retrograde Show. So it's going to be one heck of an event. We're also going to be at Revival. So all the events this year happening, we are definitely going to be there. So I'm really looking forward to this. 2014 is going to be the year of Retro Asylum. Right, one last thing before we move on to the interview. We have got an amazing prize which was kindly donated to us by Aaron White, and he's kindly donated some amazing ocean goodies. So if you want to win this prize, all you need to do is go on Twitter and hashtag Retro Asylum Podcast and then complete the sentence, I want to win the ocean goodies because, and it's as simple as that. Or if you don't have Twitter, you can always email me at andy@retroasylum.com. Right, so I've rambled on long enough. Let's get down to the main part of the podcast, which is the interview with Philip Murphy, where he talks about NERD. Hello everyone, this is Andy from Retro Asylum, and joining me today is Philip Murphy, one of the organisers of NERG.
Hello there.
Hi there, Philip. So tell us about a little bit about NERG then. What is it?
NERG, for those that don't know, stands for Northeast Retro Gaming, and it's based in the northeast of England, and it's a retro gaming event covering video arcade machines from the early 80s. And pinball machines, which are still made today. So there's a mixture from the early stuff right up to the modern day stuff, and home computers and consoles from the 80s and early 90s.
Now, you say the Northeast, but where about in the Northeast exactly is NERG being held?
NERG is held in Gateshead, which is very close to Newcastle. It's just over the other side of the Tyne, the River Tyne. It's on the south side of the River Tyne. It's held at Gateshead Stadium. It's in a sports hall. It's roughly the size of two five-a-side football pitches. So it's a very enclosed space. It's a very exclusive event. And there's only 900 people allowed into the event each day.
Wow, I tell you, that sounds absolutely amazing. Now, I've spoken to Philip, I think, last week sometime, basically. And the reason why I spoke to him was because what we're trying to do is we're trying to organise the Retro Asylum to hold a live podcast there, which is what I'm really excited about. I found out about NERG via Steve Perry, a.k.a. Starship UK, and he basically recommended me to you. And I spoke to you last week, and we got on really, really well. Like I said to Steve a few days later, I thought, you know, Philip sounds really sound, really down to earth, and I'm really excited about what he, you know, what you've got planned for this event, basically.
Yeah, NERG is just born out of my love of gaming. There's events all over the country, but there's been nothing in the Northeast. I've been to events in Blackpool and Manchester where they have events full of arcade machines, consoles, that sort of thing. And people from the Northeast travel to these events, and there's just been nothing in the Northeast area. So back in 2013, I thought the Northeast needs this because it is expensive when you're traveling to these events.
Yeah,
you've got your transport, fuel, hotel, that sort of thing. I thought, I want to do this for the people of the Northeast, but also for other people who love traveling around to come to the Northeast, see what the Northeast is about, meet the people of the Northeast. Yeah. Back on to Steve. Steve, he provided all the consoles, and everyone loved him. All of his, he's got a massive variety of machines. They loved what he had on. And it's great to have him back this year as well to do the same sort of thing.
How did you guys get in contact with each other then last year?
Well, Steve actually contacted me because it was in the early days of planning, because events like this rely on home collectors, because you don't get these arcade machines in arcades anymore. It relies on people who have these in the homes. And it's just out of the goodness of the heart that they bring these machines along. Steve contacted me. It's what he does. It's his passion, home consoles and computers. He loves going to the events. And he asked if he could help NERG out. and I welcomed him with open arms, and he went down an absolute storm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen Steve's collection because he helped out for one of our little events, Retromania, and when Steve sent me the list of all the machines he owned, I was just like, well, you know, he had all the machines that I wanted and all the machines I dreamed of, plus about another like 50 that I'd never even heard of. So this, he's got like a massive amount of machines.
Yes. When I was growing up, I thought I was a gamer until I met Steve, and he was listing all these consoles, and the majority I'd never heard of, and I was a bit embarrassed. I thought, well, I am not a true gamer. And what he had at NERG was probably just a quarter of his actual collection, and it was a real honor to see some of his pride and joy actually on display and allowing others to experience those machines which they've never played on before. It was fantastic. And there's a couple of other big names. I mean, there was so many people brought machines along. Mm-hmm. But in the video arcade section, Retro Games Party, RGP, they brought a lot of their video arcade machines along, and thankfully they're helping out at NERG 2014. And Northern Lights Pinball NLP, mm-hmm. who are keeping just the pinball name alive, because mm-hmm. over the years pinball has slowly died off, but they do everything they can, traveling all over the country, yeah. to just to open people's eyes, say pinball mm-hmm. is still alive, the machines are still being made. And in 2013, it gained a great new following in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Young people who never played pinball before, that heard of pinball, and they said they didn't realize they would get so much enjoyment out of playing pinball. And mm-hmm. that's the whole thing about Northern Lights, just spreading the pinball word. It was good to see.
Okay, now before we start talking about NERG last year and this year's events, what I want to talk about a little bit, I want to get a little bit of history from you so our listeners can sort of like be transported back into what you were like as a youngster. So when did you first get into gaming then?
Oh, I think about the age of 11 or 12, I think I went to a YMCA club, mm-hmm. and my first experience of a video machine was Space Invaders.
Right, okay.
And I was just in awe standing watching this other young guy playing Space Invaders, mm-hmm. just mesmerized by it. And it just went from there. And every visit to the coast, their holiday resorts, mm-hmm. Visiting arcades, going to the arcade machines, that sort of thing. Back in those days, the parents had a routine where you would spend a few hours on the beach, but as a kid, you're just dying to get into the arcade machines, yeah. just to play on the arcades, and it just went from there. And my first experience at home was the Atari VCS, which was probably the first experience for a lot of people. The Atari VCS, it was so popular, and then arcade machines started to spring up in taxi offices, cafes. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of thing, and they were everywhere, and that was your childhood.
Mm-hmm. So what games did you own for the Atari then?
Oh, I think the first one was Asteroids, and then there was Space Invaders, and then Pac-Man, mm-hmm. and they did the best they could with the conversions, but they just weren't the same as the original arcade machines.
Well, where did you move on from the Atari then?
Oh, I was never very good at making the decision on home computers when right. it came to the popular ones, when everyone had either the Spectrum or the Commodore. I unfortunately had the Dragon 32, which was it was a good machine, but it just didn't have the software support mm-hmm. for there wasn't that many games being developed for it, and then I went from there to the Amstrad CPC 464, which was a good step up, and that was a well-supported machine and format. And then from there, it was the Atari ST. And mm-hmm. from there, that's when I went into PC gaming. I was at mm-hmm. that age where I was working, and I could afford, I could just about afford a PC. Mm-hmm. I think the first ever PC I purchased was a 386 machine. That was back in about... was that about 1991, I think it was, something like that, 1991.
So, I mean, what are the games then that, to you, if they were stranded on a desert island, would you sit back and play? If you could pick any three games, what games would those be?
Three games from my childhood in the arcade. I loved Star Wars, but that is the Dream Machine or the Holy Grail for a lot of gamers. I loved Star Wars, especially the cockpit, sitting in that cockpit. Unfortunately, I don't own the cockpit version myself. I've got an upright version, but not the the cockpit. And then there was Tron. I loved playing Tron. I loved the movie, loved the game. And again, I don't have the upright, but I've just managed to secure a cocktail table Tron, which is very rare. They were only ever released, produced in the US, and there's only a handful in Europe, and I've managed to secure one, and it'll be making its debut at NERG 2014. And the third one, I think I'll have to leave that one open.
Just really leave it open there, just in case.
Maybe Gallagher. Okay. I do love Gallagher. Yeah, maybe Gallagher.
All right. Now you mentioned some of the machines there that you said you actually own. At which point then did you start collecting machines again? Was there a lull where you didn't collect anything and then you just started again? Where did all this, you know, happen?
Well, yes, it was nearly 4 years ago. A friend of mine introduced us to a retro game forum. I signed up, joined in, and I just couldn't believe people had arcade machines in the home. I thought they were dead and buried, and the people had ranging from 1-2 machines to 10-15 machines. And a few months later, I bought my very first arcade machine, which was just a regular Jammer cab, a Video Wizard cab. And it spiraled from there. I bought a pinball machine, then another pinball machine, another arcade machine. And then a couple of years later, I decided to do NERG.
So how much did your first arcade machine cost you then? I'm just out of curiosity because I'm so tempted to get one myself. But I can't, you know, really get one because of my wife. But, you know, how much did it cost you?
Yeah, it was just a regular, what they call a generic video arcade machine. It wasn't a dedicated machine, so you could swap the game boards in and out of it. And I was lucky to get it for around £50.
That is absolutely amazing still.
Yeah, it needed a little bit of work, like new joysticks, that sort of thing. But the going rate is about £150, between £150 and £200 for just a generic machine. But if you're looking at the Star Wars machine, the upright that I've got, you're looking at £1,000 upwards for something like that. Yeah, wow, very highly sought after.
So how many arcade machines do you own then?
I've amassed 5 pinball machines.
5 pinball machines?
Yeah, unfortunately I don't have the room to have them all set up. So it's 5 pinball machines and about 12 arcade machines.
12 arcade machines, wow.
Yeah, and again, I don't have them all set up. I have a few of them in the garage, a few of them in the dining room, a few of them in the living room, that sort of thing. So it's not really a home I live in. I think I just live in a storeroom.
Well, that's just amazing. Honestly, I'm stunned by that. I mean, I still remember when I went to visit Steve for our Christmas party, and I walked in and he had all these machines and he had big arcade machines, and I was impressed. And you've got like 12 of them. That's just like unbelievable. That's what dreams are made of.
It does become a bit of an obsession, yeah. But then because I was doing NERG, I needed more machines for the event for people to play. So I was buying them as often as I could.
Now, have you got some sort of technical background in electronics or fixing these machines or anything, or was it just something that you learned as you went along?
I don't. Nothing at all. I purchased one. If something goes wrong, you just have to use the internet, do some research, speak to people on forums like UKVAC, UKVAC.com. They're very helpful. You post the issue that you've got, and there's so many people trying to help you out. It is a really good community, and you've got tutorials on YouTube, that sort of thing. I've got a couple of machines where I've got monitor problems, so I'm trying to, I could easily send them away to get fixed, but I want to learn myself, so I've been studying the electronics via YouTube and speaking to people on the forum and friends I know just to try and troubleshoot the monitor problems I've got. I still haven't fixed them, but hopefully I'm getting there and I will get there in the end.
So what are the sort of problems then you're experiencing with the monitors then?
It just doesn't turn on.
Oh, they just don't
totally
turn on?
Blank.
Right,
totally,
okay.
Totally blank, so yeah. There's a range of things can go wrong with them, and it is just old electronics. And they're 30 years old, these machines, so something will go wrong. It's expected. There is people who are very well educated out there who can fix these, but I want to learn myself. So I am trying to fix them myself.
Okay. Now, the next thing I want to ask you then is, like, how on earth did you go from having arcades in your home to thinking, you know what, I want to set up my own event?
Well, it was just the traveling. It was the last, the first Play Expo that was in Manchester. Mm-hmm. That was in 2012 in October.
Yeah.
I came away from there absolutely buzzing. I loved it. And I thought that the Northeast needs something like this. And from the next day, I was planning it, how I could do it. Where I would hold the event, what support I could get, what I would need. And I more or less worked every day from there, planning NERG. So that was about 7 months in the planning.
So, I mean, how did you go about actually, finding the venue? Did you know straight away that's the venue that you wanted, well, you've chosen it? Or was it something you did a bit of research looking around?
I was looking all over the Northeast, and that's the unfortunate thing. The Northeast doesn't have exhibition centres. They've got a few indoor arenas, that sort of thing, but the costs were horrendous. And luckily I found Gateshead Stadium, and the costs weren't too bad. And again, it's with any project, you've got to start small and work your way up from there. But to be honest, Gateshead Stadium, the size of it, 900 people, I'm holding it again there this year, and I just like the exclusivity of it, where I can only allow 900 people in. It's the same venue. I'm hoping to get more machines in this year. And I just like the location. There's free parking for everyone. The transport routes are good. There's hotels nearby. And it just suits me. And I think it suits the clientele that are there. It's not overcrowded. Like I say, it's exclusive to 900 people there. So the more machines that are there, the more they've got to play on.
I mean, I've got to say, I'm really impressed, because, you know, for the first event that you did last year, you got quite a lot of people there, and the size of the venue is what amazes me, because you said start off small, but 900 people per day is just mind-blowingly fantastic. I mean, compared to the event that we did last year, our event could only hold like about 50 people max, and we didn't even get that at all. So, you know, what you achieved is just completely mind-blowing.
Well, I didn't get 900. I got 600 on the Saturday and 400 on the Sunday.
That's still amazing, though.
It is, yeah. I mean, it was all about the promotion. With it being a first-time event, I had to get the name out there and the event out there, spread the word around. And from there, it spread even further. People were buzzing about the event. They were telling their friends who didn't make it, regretted not going, but they're going to be coming to this year's event. So I think I did everything right. And just word of mouth, it's testament to that.
Let's talk about your journey there then. Like, so you got the venue then how did you start promoting it? How did you start getting it out there to everyone?
Well, I started with the game forums. I was only a member of a couple of forums. I had to start researching what forums were out there. I registered with new forums. The likes of Steve, he really helped out. And he promoted on the forums that he was on, and from there it was then promoting it locally, and I got some great help from Game, who are the computer shops Game.
All right.
They were instrumental in promoting it in the Northeast. They allowed me to put posters up and hand flyers out.
Oh, fantastic.
That sort of thing. And then there was Retro Games shops around the Northeast. They were freely advertising it, because it helps them in the long run as well. Yeah, and then there was the local radio station. I did interviews with them. Then there was advertising as well, locally at, over the bridges of the popular motorways around the northeast. So there was that would have been a first event. It's all about the promotion, and I went at it 100%.
No, it really sounds like you went for it big time. I mean, had you done any sort of promotional thing for any other sort of type of work before?
No, I've never done an event before. This was everything was new to me, but I put my heart and soul into it, and it's paid off because even on the Saturday when people were leaving, they're saying, "You've got to do this again next year. You've got to do this." And I was exhausted. I think I'd be in more trouble if I didn't do it. But it was an absolute pleasure, just because it's for my love of gaming, and to see the people who were there, they loved it as well. It would be crazy not to do it again. So within I think it was within a few days after 2013 died down, I was already planning 2014 and organising a date for it.
So why don't you tell us then, what were the sort of range of people that went down there? Did you have like kids? Did you have adults, families?
It was a mixture of both. And to be honest, it was great seeing kids playing machines which were 30-year-old. So you've got 7, 8, 9-year-old children playing 30-year-old machines. And it's the same with the consoles, playing on consoles before they were even born.
What were the machines then that the youngsters you found that they preferred the most?
They were everywhere, to be honest. The retro consoles, computers, pinball. I mean, some of them even brought little stools along so the children could stand on them to play the pinball.
Yeah.
And the video arcade machines. And it was great to see them playing machines that were out before they were even born. And you do have teenagers who collect the retro merchandise, and it is great to see.
So what were the highlights for you then for NERG 2013?
I think it was the, well, apart from the event itself and making that a success, it was the exclusives that I managed to attract to the event.
Yeah.
Namely the Matrix pinball that was being developed by a Dutch team, and they actually came over, and it was its debut in the UK, and it's never actually been back to the UK.
Oh wow!
Since, and I'm in talks with them to actually try and get them over again. I'm doing some arm twisting.
Yeah,
they haven't said yes yet, but I am hoping to get them back. They've said no once, but I've done that much arm twisting, they're now thinking about it. So hopefully, I'll get them there.
Fantastic.
Then there was the Tron Legacy limited edition pinball machine. Steve brought along his Sharp X68000, which had never been to an event before.
Yeah.
There was Mad Planet's video arcade machine, but unfortunately that developed a fault the weekend.
Yeah.
And then there was the Wizard of Oz pinball machine, which had the very latest code on it. That was a debut there as well. So apart from the event, there was those exclusives as well, which I was over the moon with.
I mean, so the event sounded like it was absolutely fantastic. Was there anything, though, that you think, we won't do that again? But, you know, any mistakes that you made that you've learned from that you will try and sort of sort out for 2014?
Yes, I didn't leave enough space around the home consoles and computer section. that will be addressed, and the tables will be further apart so that there's plenty of space for people to walk around, not just sit at.
Yeah,
that was a disaster. I was really disappointed with overlooking that. And competitions, there wasn't enough competitions there, but again, that will be addressed. We'll have more competitions this time around.
Right, so let's talk a little bit about 2014, the event that's coming up now. Who are your sponsors then for this event?
We've got Funstock, funstock.co.uk, they are sponsoring the event, and Clarkade, who, Funstock, they provide games, consoles, they do online downloads, that sort of thing. And Clarkade, he builds the bar top arcade machines.
Yeah. All right, so what have you got planned then for 2014 then? Fill us in then. What is NERG 2014 all about?
Well, it's at the same event, Gateshead Stadium, but I wanted to make it a bigger event with more machines. So I'm looking to double the amount of video arcade machines. So we had about 50 in 2013. We're looking at about 100 in 2014. There's going to be the same amount of pinball machines, hopefully, and roughly the same amount of retro consoles and home computers. And again, we've got the support from Retro Games Party, Northern Lights Pinball, and Steve Perry. Mm-hmm. And the cosplay, we're going to make, that's going to get a bigger focus, the cosplay this year. There's going to be a first prize of £250 for that. There is going to be more competitions and hopefully more traders as well.
Now, how many traders have you got lined up so far, or is it still early in its days? For
So far, we've got 12 traders lined up, and I think there's about another 7 or 8 who are thinking about it, and that there's still another 6 months to go to get more traders involved.
It sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean, for just you organizing this, you know, you've got other retro gaming events that are absolutely amazing, but, you know, this is your second one, and the scale of it still just amazes me. I'm still just stunned by it, you know.
Well, I think I could claim that it's the biggest, the best event for games to visitors ratio. Because other events around the UK, there's thousands of people that visit the events, whereas I'm only allowed 900 people there, so the ratio is so much better. It's probably the best in the UK.
I think it will work better as well, because a lot of the times that you go to these events, you're left just wandering around looking at people play games where you can't really get on the machine that you want to, but the way you've done it is... everyone will be able to get a go because there is enough room, there is enough machines, so yeah.
Yes, and there is that common courtesy etiquette where if you see somebody standing in line waiting to play a game, you finish your game and you allow them to have a game next. Mm-hmm. It's just common courtesy.
So,
we didn't have any problems last year. I had signs up saying if there is people standing waiting in line, finish your game and let them play, and there was no issues at all.
So where do you see then NERG going then? Are you going to try and do a 2015? Are you going to try and expand it?
I think I'd be crucified if I didn't. I'm quite happy just to keep it at Gateshead Stadium. Like I say, it's a nice exclusive event, 900 people. The ratio from players to game machines out of there is great. I'm just a normal guy with a full-time job. This isn't a business to us.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy just keeping it that nice exclusive event year on year, which I'm sure the visitors are happy with as well.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to it as well because, you know, you've given us the opportunity to do a live podcast down there. And from the sounds of it, I think it will fit in nicely with what you've got tied up. You know, we're going to do a podcast, you know, talk about the event, talk about retro gaming. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to this.
You're very welcome. I'd just like to say as well that the prices are being held. So it's £15 a day or £25 for the weekend. And the opening times are 10:30 to 7 p.m. on the Saturday and 10:30 till 5 p.m. on the Sunday. And machines are free play. I just can't tell people enough. The machines are set to free play. I couldn't talk about it enough. During 2013, mentioned it every week. It was on posters, banners, everything. All machines set to free play. Yet still on the day, there was people asking for change to put in the machines. I think the machines are free play. You pay to get in, and you can play as long as your fingers don't bleed. That's fine. And there's also an agreed rate with a local hotel where it is £50 per room, per night, bed and breakfast. And it's the Ramada Encore. You've just got to give them a ring, ask to speak to Danielle, and quote NERG, and you'll get that agreed rate if you're traveling from anywhere else in the country rather than the Northeast.
It sounds like you've got absolutely everything planned, honestly. It's just... You're a natural to this, Philip. Honestly, I'm amazed by all this. I know I've said this quite a few times during the podcast, but honestly, it's just It sounds amazing, and I just can't wait for this event. So what are the things you're looking forward to then? What are the things that, you know, you can't wait for this event then, especially?
I think it's just seeing people enjoy themselves, because I put so much work and effort into it. I work daily. Well, from planning it at the beginning of the year, I am on NERG 24/7. And every night it's just NERG.
Yeah.
And it's just seeing the end result, seeing people really happy, enjoying it and complimenting us and coming up to us, shaking my hand, saying, thank you very much. We'll love that you're doing it again next year. And it makes it all worthwhile.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to find out for you. So if people do want to go to NERG, how can they get the tickets?
They can purchase them. If they live locally, they can purchase them at that retro game shop in Granger Market or via Eventbrite, which is a ticketing website. And you'll find links on the NERG website and the NERG Facebook page. The NERG Facebook page, if anybody hasn't found it yet, it is Northeast Retro Gaming Limited, all one word. Do a search on that and you'll find details there.
Now, have you got a Twitter page or anything like that?
Yes, the Twitter feed is at NERG Official, and the website is northeastretrogaming.com.
Okay, so what we'll start doing then, we'll start rounding this up then. Philip, I'd just like to give you the opportunity. Would you like to say thank you to anyone, or like, you know, anything like that, any shout-outs?
Yes, just the continued support of those involved who actually make NERG happen. So from last year to this year, Retro Games Party, RGP, there's the pinball crew, Northern Lights Pinball, and then this year sponsors funstock.co.uk and Clarkade, as well as the website designers. There's so many people involved. There's the photographer, the PR guys. There's so many people to mention.
Okay, so yeah, Philip, I'd just like to say thank you very much for coming on the show. Like I said loads of times, I'm really looking forward to this, you know, this gaming event. It sounds amazing. I can't wait for it. I'm sure our listeners are definitely going to check it out. So thank you very much, Philip.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.